started, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can
like,
dig
like,
it.
Stop right on.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
You know I'm doing well. It's Friday and the sun's shining. How are you, Earl?
What day is it?
It's Friday.
I didn't know it was Friday. I'm just kind of, moving around, man, floating. It's Friday. Oh, great. That means Sandy Weems is going to be on the docket. And, he'll be calling in a little bit later. But we've got a lot to talk about, man. Calvin, you've never heard of Pat Robinson, have you?
I'm not familiar.
Okay. So Pat Robinson, died several days ago. At the ripe old age of 93. And our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. And I remember watching Pat Robinson and the 700 Club on television. I spent a lot of time watching Pat Robinson and the 700 Club. And never really knew the impact of it. Never really knew who Pat Robinson basically was from the perspective of the power that he wielded. The 700 Club was early on when, cable started to come into vogue. And it was Pat Robinson who kind of created evangelical Christianity. I was watching all of this stuff as a relatively young man. And, being a Christian, just watching this and enjoying the entertainment, not so much the entertainment from the perspective of, the singing and those kinds of things, but the conversations that were being had. And I never really, because I myself had not matured enough to understand exactly who and what he was and what they were doing. And now that Pat Robinson is gone at 93, he was still active. He was still moving around. He was still doing the show up until the time, the evil consequences of time claimed him. But you got to understand who this man was. And he is the main orchestrator of evangelical Christianity, pushing the Republican Party into the pro-life movement, the Family Party, and all of those different coalitions. They basically came through Pat Robinson, Robertson. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Pat Robertson, do you remember him? And what are your thoughts? He had tens of millions. He united tens of millions of evangelical Christians. This man had broad impact. And now, many decades later, you realize just how much he and his footprint is on evangelical Christianity. Now, he ran for the presidency in 1988 and got about 9-10%. But this man almost single-handedly changed and brought politics into religion. and religion into politics. Prior to that, it wasn't happening. And even if it was, it was done under the cloak of darkness. Pat Robinson made all of that possible. As a young person, I remember constantly hearing about the separation of church and state. And as a young man, that existed. They kept those things separate. The founding fathers and the people who came after them knew the slippery slope that this would lead to. And we're living it right now. We're living that slippery slope where religion and our government has kind of joined forces. It hasn't been a good thing. As a matter of fact, I think it's undermined both things. I think it's undermined religion, and I think it's certainly undermined our government. The two should have never been brought together. Pat Robinson brought it together. And now, you know, many of us are living the outcome of that. And it hasn't been a good thing. 844-967-2789. You know, all of this wokeness and the wars that people are talking about right now, you know, whether you should have this or whether you should do that or whether somebody, all of those things have come because somebody thought it was okay to bring their religious beliefs into our government, which includes all religions, and yet one particular religion has been able to kind of control what happens in this government. That's the main reason that the founding fathers did not want that. And now, you know, the horse is out of the barn. And now I don't see any turning back. And so those who have their religious persuasions somehow think that, you know, their religious beliefs are the way we all should go and that we should be governed by their individual religious beliefs. And we wind up in this web that we're in right now where people are talking about the Bible says. The Bible says. Well, the Bible says. What does that have to do at all with our government? What does it have to do with that? And Pat Robinson was a guy who clearly had a lot to do with that. Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from LA. Hey, good morning, Tom. How you doing, man?
Hey, bro.
You're a bit too young. You're a bit too young for Pat Robinson, but I'm sure you know who he was.
Oh, I know him too well. Wish never knew it. Would have known him. First, we the people ultimately are the government collectively, especially once we get money out of politics. So, you know, that's number one. Number two, well, here's the part I don't get, Earl. One, you have a book. It's called The Bible. One part of the book is really the first Old Testament. Is all
the Torah. The Old Testament Torah. Is the Torah. That's the Jewish book.
Exactly. But the New Testament was when Jesus came along, and that's when everything changed in terms of being a peacenik and loving everyone and turning the other cheek and all these different things. So I don't think these people should be called Christians. Maybe they should be called Biblicans is what they should be called. Or, you know, if you want to say Torians or whatever, I don't know what it is. But the book is contradictory in the first place. Second, I do not understand how human beings cannot look you know, you want to talk about religion. The first commandment is, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. Okay, Pat Robertson is about as strange a God as you can get. Donald Trump is about as strange of a God as you can get. If you are putting so much emphasis on the person, you're going to tell me that you are not putting more faith in a man that is walking the earth today than in God? Because if you have a personal relationship with God, that's with you and God. Whatever you want to do in your life, he gave you free will, do with it what you want. He gave us a gift. It was to do with it what you want to do with it. It's called free will.
So Tom, my issue with it is that it was not supposed to be interchangeable with our government.
Oh, 100%. That was the whole idea.
Yes.
And it was honestly for the it was for the salvation of both church and state to keep it separate. It wasn't just to make it so, stay out of the religion, stay out of God. It was also to preserve religion, because we can see what's happened now. People are walking away from the church. People are turned off by the church. They didn't want it where it was the same. The founders knew that, and most of the founders were deists. They were not even Christians. So let's get that straight. And all these people say, oh, we're a Christian nation. BS. That's why we escaped England. We wanted freedom from religion. That was the whole point of coming to America. So these people, I don't know where they get all this stuff from. I really don't, except for they would have followed Jim Jones off the ledge.
Well,
they followed Pat Robertson
again,
off the ledge.
Again, Tom, I just, you know, Pat Robertson had to say a few words about him, because he was one of the main orchestrators of evangelical Christianity, and he's now gone. Thank you very much for the call. When we come back, none other than our good friend Sandy Williams, my co-host, is going to be joining us after the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You tune into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Right.
Black-owned summer marketplace hosted by MKE Black Incorporated. Enjoy food trucks, vendors, and a live DJ, all while supporting local Black-owned businesses. This event will be downtown in the Deer District from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Learn more at mkeblack.org and download our app today.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunny skies and calm today with the high of 80. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, lows around 54. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, highs level off around 84.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Hey, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing all right. I'm down here in Sarasota, Florida, where it's quite warm. Is it warm up there?
It's perfect, man.
Oh.
What's quite warm?
Well, I probably will be exaggerating, but each day it doesn't get quite to 90, but right below 90, it's very humid, so it's kind of walk slow warm. I'd call it that. That's how warm it is.
Walk slow, warm.
Yeah.
That's okay. Okay. Let me ask you. I was before we went to break, Sandy. You remember Pat Robertson?
Yeah, Pat Robertson. Yep.
Yeah. Pat Robertson passed recently. And Sandy, as a young man, I remember watching the 700 Club. I don't know if you ever watched the 700 Club. There wasn't a whole lot to watch.
I only watched it. I watched it inadvertently at most. I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Changing
channels if I hesitated.
Yeah. And so as a young man, you know, practicing the Christian religion, I watched it and I didn't realize, but he had a very strong following in evangelical Christianity was kind of developed during his time.
Oh, yeah. You know, there were a couple of televangelists, and they were both very popular and very wealthy. I'm not sure that Pat Robertson got all the money that some of them did, but, you know, it was phone in with questions and
yes.
Mail in your money kind of religion.
A very influential guy was Pat Robertson, and so influential that I remember when he ran for president of the United States, he certainly was able to command the attention of any Republican that was running for president or was president of the United States. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah, he was parallel to the development of Rex Reed. Remember, Rex,
yes.
Rex Reed was the organizational head of the Christian right, and Pat Robertson became sort of a political figurehead. He was a little, I don't know if he had command over the same kind of range of the right that Rex Reed's organizations did. But Rex Reed was a real power broker, and he was the beginning of the marriage of the right and religion.
And as I was saying, Sandy, before you came on board, before those guys, they kind of kept religion and the government separate, right? I mean, if it was going on, we didn't know about it, but this brought it all to light.
Yeah, I think that religion has always been something that people running for president would assert they were interested in, and would typically announce what church they went to. But it wasn't a fundamental litmus, and I think everyone understood exactly at what level of importance it was. And then the evangelical movement, and Jimmy Carter was sort of an early, you know, he was an evangelical Christian. And he, however, was not, he was probably elected in spite of that status instead of because of that status.
Yeah, I think Sandy, you're absolutely correct. But you know, I just thought that to just pass by the fact that Pat Robertson had passed on without having a couple snippets about who he was and the impact that he had, and he kind of steered the Republican Party at that point in time into that kind of way of looking at things from the perspective of the Christian doctrine, and so what we see today, I think, came out of that. But anyway, I digress. How did you guys do, man? Before we go to break, how did you guys do down in Crewe, in Florida?
Well, I'll tell you what, the young women from the club did very well, and they're in the. They're in the potential championship finals. The boys did well. They did very well to get here, but they didn't do as well as they'd hoped in terms of not getting into the championship round. But you understand that, you know, there are 25 boats here, and there were hundreds of boats from the country competing to get here. So, you know, it's a big deal to just be here and be competing.
Well, you know, Sandy, kudos to you. And those of you who continue to support young people, and we talk about this all the time, the importance of athletics and the impact that it has, but to be able to travel and do those kind of things and get a little taste of what it's like. Maybe many of these young men will go on to college and do crew. And so that's probably the impact of it, right?
Oh, yeah. The young women, I think almost all of the young women here are going on to college to row. And the thing is, it reflects just a huge amount of work on their part. And I think that in today's world, you know, it used to be that those of us who tried to be athletes would do, you know, four sports each season. And now kids are big.
At 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy. Oh, what a wicked web we weave when we practice to deceive. So Donald Trump has been indicted. And Sandy, you know, this is not a surprise, right? I mean, he was indicted. He's been indicted, and he's indicted again. But this time, what's the difference between?
This one, I think this is a nightmare. I think this is a nightmare for America, not because we shouldn't be doing it. I think that the rule of law requires that it be applied to everyone, including ex-presidents. But what this really means is that someone like Donald Trump, who was willing to not only violate all the norms of society, but to thumb his nose at laws and to operate in such a unilaterally personal fashion, puts the country between a rock and a hard spot. He's violated laws. I have no doubt that the special prosecutor here was exceedingly conservative about deciding whether to ask for an indictment from the grand jury. And of course, the grand jury, as a jury of peers, had to agree with the prosecutor that an indictment should be issued. And I'm sure this isn't for petty kinds of stuff. There's a conspiracy act, there's an espionage act allegation in this. I'm confident that this isn't just benign behavior, but the fact is that indicting the president makes us look like a banana republic, right? Indicting an ex-president.
Sandy,
so it's a nightmare.
What choice did they have?
Well, I don't think there is a choice. I think the rule of law requires that it be applied against everyone. But what it really proves is that when you have someone who's willing to thumb his nose or thumb, you know, their nose at norms and laws, when they get into a position of power, puts at peril our whole system, because the system isn't premised on holding leaders' feet to the fire based on criminal laws. And you know that's the stuff that happens in very unstable political situations.
You know, Sandy, one of the charges is espionage. And I remember as a young guy watching, you know, I Spy and all these spy things, and they would talk about espionage. I didn't know what that meant, and really didn't know what it was until I started preparing for the show this morning and finding out what espionage is and why it's so important that, you know, if people have done anything in opposition to the Espionage Act, that this is serious business, right?
Well, you know, when I was a very young man, the United States not only prosecuted but executed the Rosenbergs for the espionage they committed of selling nuclear secrets. And so espionage is a little bit like sedition. You know, a government that's an evil oppressive government can describe espionage as almost anything, right? So, but in the United States, historically, espionage has been used to prosecute people who commit direct crimes against the interests of the United States, and it usually has been only premised on situations that involve the security of the United States. So, like this fella Hansen, who was prosecuted and incarcerated, who just died last week, in fact, for selling an immense amount of information to the Russians, or then the Soviet Union, that involved our whole spy network. So, to the extent that spies are critical to the operation of a country, he attacked it very centrally. And so, yeah, none of us could describe an espionage prosecution that hasn't involved some very fundamentally important things.
So what is the Espionage Act? Espionage Act of 1917, enacted just after the beginning of World War I, makes it illegal to obtain information, capture photographs, or copy descriptions of any information relating to the national defense with the intent for that information to be used against the United States or for the gain of any foreign nation. Is the Espionage Act still in effect? Many significant chunks of the Espionage Act of 1917 remain in effect and can be used in the court of law. In its modern iteration, the act has been used to prosecute spies and leakers of classified information. In headlines relating to the Trump Mar-a-Lago search, the section of the Espionage Act, which itself is a statute, 18 U.S. Code, Chapter 37, is 793. The concerns enumerated in 18 U.S.C. 793 are gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information. So, Sandy, if you just forget all of the letters and all the other things and listen to these words, gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information. This serious business, right?
Well, I think so. And I don't think they would assert an Espionage Act violation if it wasn't, in fact, a serious and clear-cut violation of it. I mean, I would hope and I would believe that the special prosecutor understands the rock and the hard spot that, that the U.S. political system is in with respect to prosecuting an ex-president, and would make sure that the prosecution could not be described by anyone with any conviction, at least, as being trivial. So my guess is that all of these allegations will not be trivial technical violations, but will be actual violations of the law that matter, right? That's not a parking ticket. It's going to be more than a parking ticket.
You know, Sandy, so what we hear from the other side of this is witch hunt. I listen to Donald Trump, witch hunt. They want to impact and affect the 2024 elections as if that's what's at the root of all of this, that somebody is worried about him winning the election. And so, they are coming after me for that. And yet there are people who believe that willfully the United States government, to his credit, Merrick Garland, step back out of this because he didn't want it to even appear as if that is what's going on. I've listened to people say, well, they're doing this because they don't want to deal with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. And so instead of doing, Sandy, this is really much more than that. Is it safe to say that?
Well, and there's an ongoing special prosecutor associated with that situation too. So this one took over a year to carry out. And so it's being done deliberately. My assumption is that the same is true with respect to the Biden thing. And for all we know, that will come to fruition in some fashion before the election as well. This is the rock and a hard spot I'm talking about. You know, a political figure like Trump is able to stand up and beat his breast and declare martyrdom politically and to suggest it's a witch hunt. But, you know, and the problem with us in terms of being able to talk about it now is that neither the those who want to defend him, nor those who want to attack him, know anything about the actual facts at this point. And I think the problem in a trial is going to be that a number of these facts are going to have to remain secret. So I would guess that discussions in court about these top secret documents will be done in camera, meaning out of the public eye and out of the eye of the press, because they're secret. And so this just further creates the fact that someone like Donald Trump, who's willing to flaunt norms and flaunt laws, puts our country in a very difficult position. And I wish those who are wanting to defend him would at least step back far enough to realize that's what's happening right now, and that they're defending him maybe out of their own sense of righteousness, but it's an attack on the country.
But Sandy, for someone who says, well, this is the same, Joe Biden had documents, Mike Pence had documents, the more I've read about this, Trump had these things for a year and a half. And they told him, return them.
Well, part of the allegations here, I'm quite sure, will involve the fact that Trump willfully obstructed returning them, willfully hid them even from his own lawyer,
right,
so that the lawyer would go to court, would go to the government and say, I've seen all the documents, you've got them all, when his client was withholding from him the opportunity to understand that there were these other documents. So he was willfully secreting these documents. That's different, apparently, than what was going on with respect to
Pence and Biden.
Yeah, I think Pence would argue that there was inadvertent. And I think Biden might well reflect the same. Now, was it inadvertent? There was a violation of the law when the documents themselves went out the door to be taken home to look at or whatever it was. But I would guess that a norm in government is that people put them in their briefcase, go home and study them and bring them back, kind of a thing. But you know, that kind of thing could happen. Violation of the law, yes. Risking getting into the wrong hands, yes. But does it go on? Probably.
Yeah, but Sandy, he had them for a year and a half, right? I mean,
yeah.
Well,
the difference is that, perception-wise at least, the difference is that Pence and Biden seem to have immediately said, oh, my God, there are documents there? Well, you can have them.
Yes.
You know, and cooperated with accumulating them and giving them back, whereas in this other case, it was just the opposite.
You know, Sandy, the other part of it is nobody knows it, you know, and I don't know if they'll find out at some point in time, but there are questions and thoughts about whether or not, you know, Donald Trump would be willing to do something to make a little money off of this. And so I don't know if they'll be able to uncover any of those things, but none of this, the sad thing about it, Sandy, is none of this will prevent him from running for president.
Well, that's right. I mean, the fact is that those who wrote the Constitution, and it's the Constitution that sets the standards for holding public office, at least at the U.S. federal government level, doesn't provide that there's any kind of constraint on being able to hold office, even if you've been convicted of a felony and are in jail. So, you know, there is a ridiculous sense of what could happen in that, you know, he could be convicted, incarcerated, elected president, and the federal government would have to try and figure out how an inmate operates as president. Now, I'm confident that were that to happen, I think everyone believes that president sitting in jail would try to pardon himself. And then we'd have the Supreme Court put into the rock and hard spot position of having to decide the hard case of whether a convicted president sitting in a federal White House penitentiary could pardon himself.
Sandy, it just all seems to be unreal, right? And it's only
no one would even buy the novel. No one would even buy the novel that had this as the plot line, because they'd say, wow, that's really science fiction.
Well, you know, and it is, because, and no other person could you possibly see could make this happen other than Donald Trump, right? I mean, you wouldn't think of any other person who's risen to the level of power that Donald Trump has ever being caught in a web like this, right? It is just only him, who he is, and that's where we are. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Our phone lines are open. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. What say you? We'll be right back. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. I mean, Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So Sandy, before we leave this, how do you, because again, there are those who again think that the reason this is happening is solely because of the fear that that people have of Donald Trump regaining the presidency of the United States. You know, when Richard Nixon, I remember Richard Nixon and what transpired during his term and during his time. And he certainly had people who believed in him and did not want to see that happen. But I don't think to the degree of these people who support Donald Trump, Sandy. Certainly.
I don't think.
Go ahead.
Well, I just don't think Nixon was a charismatic leader with a following, with a personal following. I think he was a political leader. At that point in time, at least the Republican Party still had a much stronger grip on things. And I think as well that Nixon was someone who had a view of himself that wasn't, he didn't have the same level of self-promotion. I mean, you know, he resigned. He saw the writing on the wall. He didn't put the country through the process of an impeachment hearing. Because I think he had an understanding of the import of what it meant to the country. So, you know, did I think he was a good guy? No, I thought he was a bad guy. But did he do the right thing when ultimately push came to shove? He did, you know, in terms of resigning instead of putting the country into the process that would be all lose, no win for the country at large. It might, you know, might be a personal win. But, you know, the notion that this is being done to keep Trump from having a political following or losing his political, I think everybody who analyzes this on both sides of the aisle understand that if anything, this is going to help Trump in terms of getting his following to be more activated and for him to raise more money. He the last time he was indicted, he got a whole bunch of money.
Well, he's raising money as we speak. Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Good morning. Good morning, Earl. Thank you for your time and your wonderful program. I changed history in this America and all the press of the world. 1989, a lady I love very much, I couldn't handle her violence, and I had her arrested. And women that I dated my earlier espionage college days came to her aid and encouraged her to lie. It was a blood issue, what the Bible talks about. And they told her to lie while she's looking at time in prison, and her 15-year-old son would commit suicide being away from her. So it was a small world. These women, I knew them, but they didn't know me because I was looking like some kind of Hell's Angel outlaw type person when they see me when I had her arrested. But before that, I was looking like a lady back in the 60s and 70s. So the terrorists actually come to me and they asked me, is my country that stupid? A gentleman having a lady arrested. And I said, my name is a man without a country. It's not stupid, it's effing stupid. So made it real easy for the Twin Towers to come down and the Pentagon and a war to start that could not ever be won at all. I thank you for your time. Keep up the good work.
Okay? Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Gene. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Oh, good morning, Earl. Finally, somebody's brave enough to do the deal. We have been watching this man get away with a lot of things that we would never tolerate in our wildest dreams throughout our lifetimes. I am so thankful. It's like I I'm not gleeful, but God darn it, laws are laws. This man, who has the highest office in our country, I'm sorry, but his behaviors have been immoral. His behaviors have been disgusting. He has really been bad toward women. This kind of man, I'm so thankful that, I've been watching, I've been reading documents, and this man has gotten away with so many things. And the thing that really disgust me, I'm sorry to say such a mean word, disgusting, are those people that continue, and I'm talking about the leadership, that continue to make excuses and stand by this man when they know darn well what he has done. And to support him yet, they should be thinking of our country first and the people in our country. And that's really all I got to say, but I'm relieved to say, and I can't wait till he is locked behind bars. I hope he is. And I hope that those people that are aiding and abetting are all held accountable because they've been misleading and hurting our public more than anything, so that anyway.
Gene, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, your thoughts quickly.
Well, I think she expresses what a lot of people feel. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who feel the flip side of that. And so that's this rock and hard spot I'm talking about. This is a lose-lose proposition as far as the American democracy is concerned. It makes me more upset with Donald Trump, the fact that he individually has accomplished putting our country into this very difficult position. And the people who are bringing the indictment against him are doing it reluctantly, okay? They are not doing it because they're enthusiastic about doing this. They know exactly what's going to happen to the country as a result of it.
You know, Sandy, the other side of this is, and Gene, this doesn't mean that, they've got him dead to rights, and he's going to really pay a price for this. It's still a battle, right?
Well, the indictment's in Florida, right? So yeah. The jury panel will be a bunch of Floridians, and it will reflect the views of Floridians. And so, no one is ever convicted for sure before a trial. Look at O.J. Simpson, right?
Right. Okay, Sandy, got to go to a break. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.